Hard to beat that choir, isn't it?
Well, I want to thank everybody again for being here today, and I'm always thankful for people who have an interest in the Word of God and who have an interest in assembling to worship the Lord. He's the one that's worthy. He's worthy of being worshiped. He's worthy of praise. And I want to ask for your prayers today as I try to share with you the things that the Lord has placed upon my heart. There was a time long ago during the days of Jesus on earth when Jesus left out of Judea on his way to Galilee. And the course of his journey took him through Samaria. And there in Samaria, he came to a city known as Sychar. And that city was close to a piece of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. And on that property, there was a well. And it was commonly known as Jacob's Well. And Jesus came to that well, and it was about noon. It was the sixth hour in their time, in our time. It would have been, we would know that as about noon. And the Lord was weary. He was tired physically from the journey that he had made. And the Bible tells us that he sat down there on that well. And there was a Samaritan woman that came to the well with a water pot to draw water. Now, you know, she probably... the Bible doesn't really specify this, but I would say that it's very, very likely that this was not the first time that this Samaritan woman had gone to that well to get water. I believe it's a great likelihood that she had done that before. You know, water was something and is something that we need on a daily basis. And so I'm confident that that was not the first time that she had ever gone there to draw water from that well. And the Bible says it was a deep well. But on this particular day, when she went to that well, Jesus was there. And he had stopped there to rest. And so this woman came there to draw water. And here the Lord, who was wearied and no doubt thirsty, made a request of this woman. And his request was that she would give him a drink. He asked her for a drink. And she said to him, "Well, how is it that you are even talking to me, you being a Jew and me being a Samaritan? Because we know that the Jews don't have any dealings with the Samaritan people. And so how is it that you are talking to me and even asking me to give you a drink?" And the Lord said to her, "If you knew who it was that was speaking to you, and if you knew the gift of God, you would have asked of him, and he would have given you a drink of living water." This is all recorded in the fourth chapter of the Gospel of John. And so this woman was confused by what Jesus said. And she said, well, sir, this well is deep. And you don't even have anything to draw with. You know, she came with her water pot. When she would come to the well to get water out of that deep well, she would put her water pot down there and bring water. And she said, this well's deep and you don't even have anything to draw water with. How is it that you are going to give me this drink of living water? And you know what the Lord told her? He said, whoever drinks of this water is going to thirst again. Have you ever had a drink of natural water that just quenched your thirst from there on out? Of course not. We all understand what Jesus was saying there. We all understand that water is something, natural water is something that we have to use continually. You know, we didn't take one drink of water right after we were born and have that satisfy us for the rest of our days. We thirst and we thirst and we thirst for that natural water. So Jesus said, you know, whoever drinks this water, they're going to get thirsty for this water again. But he said, whoever will drink of the water that I will give will never thirst again. This living water is something that you drink one time. And you never thirst again. And the reason that we don't thirst again is that he said that when we drink this water, that there will be a well of water. Whoever drinks of that spiritual water, that living water, will have within them a well of water springing up into everlasting life. I'm telling you that salvation is a spiritual experience with God. This woman, upon hearing what Jesus said, she wanted it. We have here in this fourth chapter of John, we have record of her asking Jesus for this water. She said, give me to drink. Give me to drink of this living water that I thirst not. And I'll tell you what I believe happened. I believe that he did. That he did give her to drink of living water. And that after that, the Lord had given her to drink of living water, he revealed to her things that, or during this, rather, he revealed to her things that she, things that he knew about her, personal things about her life that he was well aware of. She told him that he said to her, let's look in verse 17. Or verse 16, Jesus said unto her, go, call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidest thou truly. And I want you to listen to the next verse. The woman saith unto him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. I perceive that thou art a prophet. Well, as they continued their conversation, she began to believe something much greater than that. At this point, she said, I perceive that you are a prophet. But the Bible tells us later that after Jesus had told her these things, that she went into the city and she testified to other Samaritans. She testified to the people of that city, come see a man which told me all things ever I did. Is not this the Christ? See, she came to believe that he was indeed the Messiah. That he was more than just a prophet. I don't generally do this. I almost always read my scripture first, but that's just not the way I felt impressed today. But I want you to think with me about the fact that this woman, this Samaritan woman, had a testimony. And I want to ask you to think about that today, and I want to use this title for my thought, I have a testimony. This woman went and testified, as I said, to the people of that city about this man that had told her all things ever she had done, that was able to reveal unto her details, things concerning her life. And that just amazed her that he was able to know those things. When she came to the well, the Bible tells us that the Lord's disciples, they were journeying with him from Judea to Galilee, but the Bible tells us that his disciples had gone into the city to buy meat, to buy food. They had gone there to get provisions because no doubt they were not only thirsty, but they were hungry. And so they went in there to secure food. And while they were gone, Jesus there sat down at the well. And then this woman comes to the well there and has an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. And when all this took place, because the Bible tells us later that his disciples did return. They did return from the city. In fact, they returned and they wanted him to eat. And when they did come back later and they saw him speaking there with the Samaritan woman and they didn't interfere in the conversation, they did find it strange themselves that he was conversing with this Samaritan woman. But when she came to the well to draw water, there was nobody there but Jesus. And I'm telling you, that's all, friend, that you need. I mean, he's the only one that you need. And when we find salvation, each one of us, when we find salvation, and it really doesn't matter who else is around us, because I know that there are a lot of people that get saved in a worship service. There's a lot of people that get saved perhaps during a revival service when there are other people around, but none of that really matters. Listen, all of us find the Lord. All of us get saved when we come to Jesus and there's nobody there but him and us. I like the story about that's recorded in the 8th chapter of John about the woman that those self-righteous Pharisees brought to Jesus, and they said, we have taken this woman in the very act of adultery, and the law of Moses tells us that she ought to be stoned to death. And the Lord said, well, all right. Whoever is without sin among you, then let him cast the first stone. And, them being convicted by their own conscience, they went away and there was nobody there but her and the Lord Jesus. And so he said, where are your accusers? Does no man condemn thee? And she said, no man, Lord. And he said, well, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. And I'm telling you, good things happen between Jesus and a lost sinner when there's nobody else there. The night that the Lord saved my soul, it was him and me. It was him and me. It's all that I needed. The Bible tells us in the 7th chapter of Hebrews concerning Jesus that he is able to save to the uttermost those that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. And listen, the Lord can do his work upon the hearts of people without help from anybody. And whenever people try to interfere, whenever people overstep the bounds of human possibilities and try to put themselves in the place of the Holy Spirit of God, what ends up happening is people get deceived about their souls. I want to tell you something. If you're here today and you're lost, you don't need anybody but Jesus. You don't need anybody but the Lord. He is able to save you to the uttermost. If you will come to him and meet his conditions, if you will come before the Lord Jesus Christ and repent of your sins and place your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you trust him with all your heart and with all your soul, you will experience exactly what he was talking about and what we find recorded in the 3rd chapter of the Gospel of John when Jesus was talking to the Pharisee named Nicodemus, and he told him, you must be born again. You must have that spiritual experience with the Lord if you're going to see heaven when this life is over. It's not between you and me. I've told you before that I despise the method that people have come up with in their own thoughts of somebody that says they're a preacher, and they stand before a congregation of people and they tell them to come up and stand with them and they tell them to recite a prayer. They tell them to go through some type of motion, and then they declare to that person that you've been saved. I'm telling you, that is not Bible. That is not scriptural salvation. That's not what the Bible teaches us. That salvation is the work of God. It's the work of God. It's the operation of God upon our hearts. Jesus, when this Samaritan woman came to him, he didn't need to call his disciples, did he? He didn't need to tell her, you need to wait here until my disciples get back from the city, and then we'll see what we can do for you. He had all the power that he needed in order to give her a drink of living water. And I believe that he did. And I like what she did. I believe that what she did is what every child of God ought to do. It's what all of us ought to do that have been touched by the hand of the Lord, that have been saved by his grace. We ought to go about everywhere testifying of the Lord Jesus Christ, telling people what he did for us. saying, you know, you need to come to this man. You need to come to the one that did this for me because he can do the same thing for you. And the Bible tells us in the 107th Psalm, in the second verse of that Psalm, it says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Let us testify of his grace. Let us testify of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he is able to do. Salvation is a personal experience. It's a personal experience, but I don't believe the Lord ever intended for it to be private. He wants it to be published, doesn't he? We read in the 5th chapter of Mark, about the man there that was possessed with the demons, and Jesus cast those demons out of that man. He healed him, and he wanted to follow Jesus right then. He wanted to go with him right then, and Jesus didn't want him to do that. He said, here's what you need to do. You need to go home to your friends, and you need to tell them what great things the Lord has done for you. I'm telling you, the night that the Lord saved my soul in the summer of 1973 at the age of 18 years old, there that night up on my knees crying out to God with great conviction of sin in my heart, realizing that I was lost and separated from God, when I called upon the name of the Lord and he spoke peace to my soul and delivered me from that sin, the first thing I wanted to do was tell somebody what happened. I mean, that's the first thought I had. I've got to tell what the Lord did for me. And I went, it must have been 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. And I went and I picked up the phone, called my mother, woke her up. She didn't seem to mind. Woke her up and said, Mom, I've just got to tell you that I found the Lord tonight. I mean, I just had to testify of that, of what God had done for me. And I'm afraid that as time goes on, that we lose too much of that. Do you remember? Remember when you first got saved? Remember that great excitement in your soul? Remember that great, I'm sure that many of you are just like I was when the Lord saved your soul. I'm telling you, listen, when God touched me in my heart, when he saved my soul, friends, I'm telling you, it was phenomenal. I'd never had anything like that happen to me before. And I've never had anything since to equal it. It was something. I mean, it was really something. And many of you are probably just like me. You just wanted to tell somebody what happened. You wanted to let somebody know that it's over. I've been redeemed. This battle with sin is over. The Lord has taken care of it. I've been saved. And I want to tell somebody about it. But I'm afraid that we lose that zeal, perhaps along the way, and we don't testify for him perhaps like we ought to. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. The Bible says that in the 10th chapter of Romans in verse 10, that it's with the heart that man believeth unto righteousness. Listen to me, salvation is not the work of the carnal mind. It's not. The Bible says that that's enmity against God. The carnal mind of man is enmity against God. It's not subject to the laws of God, nor indeed can be. Salvation is not the work of the carnal mental mind of a person. It's not a mental decision to try to start living your life better. It's not a mental decision to accept the Lord Jesus Christ. It's repentance of your sins. It's realizing that you're a sinner before God and repenting of your sins before Him and trusting Him and seeking Him until His Holy Spirit comes and speaks to you and lets you know that you've been saved. And I would urge you not to stand before God with anything short of that, without you knowing in your heart that you have been saved by God's amazing grace. Living water. Living water. When the Lord saved us, when He gave us living water, we've not been thirsty. Have we? We've not been thirsty since then. I know exactly what Jesus was talking about. I believe that those of you that have been saved, you know exactly what Jesus means, or what He meant there, rather. I know exactly what He meant when He said that if you drink that living water, you'll never thirst again. Because from the very time, the very moment that the Lord saved my soul, I have never again felt that condemnation. I mean, it's been gone. It's been gone ever since then. And so it is between you and the Lord. And you just need to seek Him until you know that He has given you a drink of living water. And, you know, I would like for Brother Joey, if he would, to lead a song for us. And but before, as he's coming and before he starts the song, you know, you may be here today and you may feel impressed of the Lord to testify of your experience. We ought to do that. You know, we ought to do that. The Bible tells us to do it. When the Lord moves up on our heart, we ought to do it. I wonder, does anybody have a testimony before we have a song? You, Brother Philip. I've shared this with the church here before, I believe, but I remember one of the sweetest things perhaps I ever heard was from a 12-year-old boy years ago in Indianapolis. And this young boy
during the summer when he was out of school got saved. And when school started again in the fall, he was in school, and their teacher gave them an opportunity in their classroom to tell about something they had done, you know, something during the summer. And, you know, if they wanted to tell about the family vacation they went on, or, you know, whatever they wanted to tell during the summer. And this 12-year-old boy got up in front of his class and told them how that summer the Lord had saved him. Nothing better than that, is there? Nothing better than that to tell about. That's my greatest story. It's the greatest thing that I have to tell, is what the Lord did for my soul. Anybody else? Bless you, Sister Jeannie. Anyone else? Bless you, Brother Mike. Appreciate that. Anybody else? Anything on your heart? That's right. Amen. 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 Bless you, Sister Amy. Someone else. Glad to have you with us today. You come back anytime you can. Bless you, Brother Copus. Enjoyed all the testimonies. Anyone else? Thank you. We're glad you're here today, Josh.
Not really important. said, it's okay. And I knew I was saved, and I knew it was going to be okay. I'm so thankful that he didn't let Satan take me over, and I was able to defeat Satan. And I'm just proud that I'm a Christian. I feel comfortable here. And I think the first thing I said after Jesus left and all that weight off my shoulders, I think I said, Mom, at the back patch, looks like I'll be able to go out there. And I'm just thankful. And I'm thankful for the word today.
Amen. Amen. Bless you. Appreciate that good talk. Anybody else? I want to ask the church. I wish that they wouldn't have had to have left, but I want to ask the church to pray for the young lady that was with Sister Matlock. She before service, she said, I'd like to talk to you. I want to be saved. And so I told her the same thing that I've tried to tell you today. It's between you and the Lord. And tried to encourage her to just seek the Lord. And so keep her in your prayers, please. Let's sing. If you're here today and you're lost, the Lord's got enough salvation for you.
Number 212. Tis a sweet and glorious thought that comes to me. I'll live on, yes, I'll live on. Jesus saved my soul from death and now I'm free. I'll live on, yes, I'll live on. I'll live on, yes, I'll live on. Through eternity I'll live on. I'll live on, yes, I'll live on. Through eternity I'll live on. When my body's slumbering in the cold, cold clay, I'll live on, yes, I'll live on. There to sleep in Jesus till the judgment day, I'll live on, yes, I'll live on. I'll live on, yes, I'll live on. Through eternity I'll live on. I'll live on, yes, I'll live on. Through eternity I'll live on. When the world's on fire and darkness veils the sun, I'll live on, yes, I'll live on. Men will cry and to the rocks and mountains run. I'll live on, yes, I'll live on. I'll live on, yes, I'll live on. Through eternity I'll live on. I'll live on, yes, I'll live on. Glory land with God upon the throne. I'll live on, yes, I'll live on.
Amen.
Through eternal ages, singing home, sweet home. I'll live on, yes, I'll live on. I'll live on, yes, I'll live on. Through eternity, I'll live on. I'll live on. Yes, I'll live on. Through eternity I'll live on.
Thank you, Brother Joey and Sister Gary, for the good songs today. And Again, thank you all for coming. We invite our visitors to come back and be with us anytime that you can. Want to again ask everybody to remember the memorial service tonight for Sister Perdue at 6 o'clock. Sister Perdue stood up here in front of us when she joined the church and related to us her experience of salvation, what the Lord had done for her. And she's gone home now to be with him. And let's remember the service tonight at 6 o'clock. Again, thank you all for coming. If all hearts are free while we're standing, I'm going to ask Brother Johnny DeMumbrin to pray the benediction today.
Our homes, in the name of Jesus.